Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
This is the latest Unite We Stand podcast. This is Andy. I'm back from America. I'm still trying to shake off the jet lag. I'm sure you've got absolutely loads of sympathy for me. And deep into getting the first United We Stand of the season done. It comes out against Fulham. There's loads of good stuff in there. I look forward to seeing you at the game. And then if you want to subscribe, do so before Tuesday. That's the Tuesday after the Charity Shield. I'm going to head off to the Charity Shield, or should I say Community Shield, as it is now, against Manchester City. It's obviously not as important as the FA Cup final, but I still have a similar feeling of slight trepidation. That's because Manchester United have still got injuries. We hoped that they would be something we saw the last of last season, but well, we've got them going into this season as well. Transfer business has still not been concluded. I know for a fact that Erik ten Hag wants certain players. The players know it as well, but it's not quite as simple as that. He's not the only decision maker at the club. Clubs have got to agree as well. And, well, there's complications. Transfers can be complicated. But there's about 3 weeks of the transfer window left. Manchester United need money. They need to get money in. And the type of names who you're seeing linked away with the move, it's all pretty accurate. It's the people who didn't really do much media on the pre-season tour. So that's people like Casemiro. Who's going to pay Casemiro's wages? I don't think anybody will do. So he may stay at Manchester United, and hopefully it'll be like he was in the first season and not the second season. So this podcast, well, we've got to thank 40 Tipster for their support, done by United fans. It's for people who like to bet on the football but don't have time to research the selections. 40 Tipster is here to help. Fellow Red Sam and his team provide football tips from all the major European leagues, including all Manchester United's games. The lads at 40 Tipster put hours of research in to find the best bets for their subscribers, and they email the selection straight to your inbox, hassle-free. They've been running the online service now for 10 years and have ended each season in profit. If you want to help beating the bookies, simply head to 40tipster.co.uk and claim your free 7-day trial. If you enjoy the service, you can carry on for £10 a month. However, if the service isn't for you, simply cancel within the trial period and don't pay a penny, 18 plus. So that's 40tipster.co.uk, FOOTYTIPSTER.co.uk. So for this podcast, I started it in South Carolina. I drove there from North Carolina, Charlotte, where Dean Smith is the manager of FC Charlotte, and Ashley Westwood plays for them, and they've got huge average crowds. And I went to see Charlotte Stadium and walked into the souvenir shop. I was going to meet a former Manchester United player who's also playing in Charlotte at the moment, but ran out of time. So I drove south to Carolina. It's a town of 130,000 people, stadium with a capacity of 80,000, and it was full. The only game on the tour which was full. So outside the ground, which was probably 50-50 United and Liverpool, I spoke to lots of different people. People who I thought were interesting and worthy of you listening to. Here we go. What's your name? Where are you from?
Briggs, Columbia, South Carolina.
You're from Columbia. You're from this little, is it a little town? A little city?
Well, if you look at the metropolitan area, it's maybe the biggest city in the state.
Okay.
But as far as the city proper, it's about 160, 150, somewhere in there.
So it's quite big.
Right, right.
And you just bought 3 copies of United We Stand, and you're going to give the other 2 to people who'd appreciate them. And I really appreciate that. I'm talking to you because you're actually from here. What does it mean for you to see Manchester United coming here against Liverpool? Because they might often play in the biggest metropolitan areas.
It's really hard to put into words. I've been a Manchester United fan since... So every American grows up playing soccer. At some point, you're going to play some soccer. And at a certain point, I'm one of the people that likes to dive into any sport that I participate in. And so I tried to learn about soccer. The first team I learned about was Manchester United. They were on a cover of a magazine called Soccer America. It was Roy Keane and Vieira on the cover. And it was an article in there about the Premier League. It was still the Premiership at the time. And I read that and I learned about Manchester United, kind of what they were, all of that. Then I bought a VHS tape of the official history of Manchester United through like 2006. Watch that. And again, I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. Never ever really thought I'd get to watch them play. So this is, I mean, it's a dream come true. It really is. Just, I cannot believe that they're actually here. When I learned that it was possible, I figured there's no way. That's just insane. But then they announced it and it was real. It's something else. It really
Tell us
is.
About your city. Is it a college town? What are the big sports here?
It's a college town. It's the seat of the government of the state of South Carolina. A lot of people give Columbia a bad rap. I feel like that's unfortunate.
Why did it give it a bad rap?
It's the government town. You know, it's the seat of the state government. People kind of tend to overlook it. You know, it's not Charleston, South Carolina. Charleston, South Carolina is historical. It's a beautiful city. Columbia, in a lot of ways, similar to Manchester, where it's very industrial. If you look around the stadium and everything, you'll see a lot of train tracks. There's a quarry right down the road here. There's a lot of warehouses. That's kind of what Columbia has been for a long time. It's really on the up. The university is here, though. There's a lot of life, things that people don't recognize or appreciate about Columbia. And it really is a great town. And I'm just amazed that we get to put it on the international stage here for people to see and maybe appreciate. It really is awesome.
And what about sports here? Because you stood in front of a 78,000 seat stadium.
Absolutely.
Who goes in there?
Every single Saturday. There are 2 stadiums here in the state of South Carolina. South Carolina Stadium, there's Clemson Stadium. South Carolina seats about 75,000. Clemson's is about 80,000. On any given Saturday, these stadiums turn into what would be considered the 4th or 5th largest city in the state by themselves. And they will be filled to the gills every single Saturday. This is a sports-loving state, sports-loving city. And again, just to be able to show the passion that South Carolinians have for sport in general and for soccer.
Which sports? Who's filling it?
American football.
American football.
Absolutely.
One. Okay.
South Carolina Gamecocks.
Right.
Every Saturday.
College sport.
College sport. We are not the most successful program in the world by any stretch, but I will tell you what, we love the team. We stand behind them. We're here. We fill it up. We went 0-11 one year, famously. And every single game was filled to the gills.
Proper supporters.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tell me a phrase from this part of the world or something you would say in your local, I wouldn't say dialect, but with your accent, you know, what's it, something interesting about this city that we don't know?
This is the South. I will address anybody. I think, is this your daughter here?
Yeah.
I addressed her as ma'am earlier. So I will say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, ma'am, anybody. It doesn't matter what age they are. They could be 5 years old. I'll say daughter to my own, or yes, ma'am, to my own daughter. She's 2 years old. That's just kind of the, you know, proper respect there.
That's a big thunderstorm here, isn't it?
Yeah,
and finally, this was quite important in the civil rights movement in the 1960s, this area, South Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of history there. Much of it not great. South Carolina's come a long way when it comes to race relations. You know, a lot of ways we're still growing in that area. You know, I would say, you know, you read a lot of terrible things about South Carolina, about what maybe people believe and everything, but just I would urge your listeners to remember that the world contains multitudes. there are many, many people here that are good, deep, you know, God-fearing, caring people that care for everybody, every nationality, and that, you know, every single day we're getting better and better.
It's lovely to hear you speak, and I love your enthusiasm for your home city.
Hey, glory, glory, Man United.
Okay, just in the fan park, there's actually a Subway car which says you'll never walk alone on it. But this gentleman definitely isn't of Liverpool persuasion. What's your name? Where are you from?
Jesse Poland. I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
So why Man United, Jesse?
It all started with David Beckham. Back in 1999, the treble. But I've been a Beckham lover all my life. Named my two kids Beckham and Davey. So
yeah.
Yeah, my two boys, yeah.
Have you been over to England?
I have. I've gone a few times. I've gotten to go to Old Trafford. Crazy story going to Old Trafford. The first time was back in 2008.
When we were champions of the world.
Champions of the world at the time, that's right. And a certain Johnny Evans was in the squad that night. But I work for the Columbus Crew, who are the current MLS champions. And through connections with them, Guillermo Scalota was on the team at the time, and he's friends with Carlos Tevez. So he arranged for me to have a ticket to the game. But the morning of the game, I was in Rome, flew from Rome to Paris, took a train from Paris to London, and then getting a train from London to Manchester, but the trains were closed at the time. And we were, you know, running late on time. We figured we got 10 minutes. If the trains don't take off, we give up. At that moment, the trains took off. We boarded, got on. I didn't know what stop to get off. There was a kid there by the name of Robbie who saw my jersey and said, "Are you going to the match?" I said, "Yeah, I don't know where to get off." He said, "Get off with me. I'll drive you to the stadium." He put me in his car with my luggage, took my wife and I to the stadium. We got out, and Carlos Tevez's translator was there, met us, took our bags, took us up to a suite with Tevez's wife and kid in the box.
Wow.
Yeah. We weren't expecting that at all.
Wow. What was the game like? I can't remember.
It was a 0-0 draw. But if I remember correctly, Fletcher hit the post at one point in the game, and Ronaldo was injured at the time but came on for Tevez later in the game. So I got to see him play, which was really cool.
So how far have you come to see this game today?
So Columbus is about a 10-hour drive, but my wife and I flew. We flew. It's a two-hour flight.
A two-hour flight.
Yeah.
That's
still
quite a long way.
Not for United.
Yeah? So how are you feeling about this season?
More optimistic than the past seasons. It seems like every year, the past few years, you feel optimistic, and then it seems like we're not turning the corner. Yeah, exactly. But this year with Ineos, it feels like we're actually going to do something, right?
I hope you're right.
I feel it.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks a lot, Andy.
What's your name? Where are you from?
Matthew Knight. I now live in Atlanta, Georgia, originally from Hampshire.
How long have you been out here?
Came to the States in 96. Originally for 3 years, and here I am 28 years later.
I would imagine watching United, if you do watch United, and that's an assumption, has changed quite a lot from when you first came here.
Yeah, in 96 when I first came here, I lived in Columbus, Ohio, and I had to drive 2 hours to Cincinnati to Haps Irish Bar, which may or may not still be there, with a couple of friends, and that's where we used to watch the matches. Today, I can watch every single Premier League game on an app on my iPhone. Totally changed.
So you used to drive 2 hours to watch a game that had already finished, been
sometimes
pre-recorded.
Yeah, if it was an early kickoff. Yeah.
Wow. And now it's on your phone.
Now it's on my phone.
And what? How do you consume Manchester United? You've just bought a copy of United We Stand. Do you get much of the fan culture as well? The podcasts?
Yes, Andy. I listen to Talk of the Devils podcast, of course. I'm a subscriber to The Athletic. Read a lot of the BBC, keep up with the newspapers, so on and so forth. So that's what how I keep up.
What's your name?
Aditya.
How old are you?
7.
You're wearing a Manchester United shirt. Who is your favourite player?
Ronaldo.
Cristiano. And the current players, because he's now left, who do you like? Who's there now for the team?
Garnacho.
Why do you like Garnacho?
Because he's a great player.
He's a great player. Where are you from?
India.
India.
You're from India? Fantastic. But you live here?
Yeah.
How far from Colombia do you live here? Come on, Dad, help him out.
Tulsa, Oklahoma, 4-hour flight.
Tulsa, so you've flown 4 hours from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I once drove through Tulsa. I might be right here. I drove between Kansas City and Dallas on the 2010 tour when Manchester United were playing in Houston.
Yeah.
That'd be right?
Yeah.
So I went through Tulsa. Yeah, definitely. And they've got... I've had to know a lad, Mark Howard, who was managing out there. who was from Manchester. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Who's going to win today out of United or Liverpool?
Manchester United.
What score?
3-1.
3-1? I hope you're right. In fact, while you're on a roll with predictions, who's going to win the league this year? The Premier League.
Premier League, there you go.
Manchester United.
Yeah, I'll hold you to that. Thank you. She's half
Ronald
Brazilian. So, where are you from, mate?
From Salford.
What's your name?
Jonathan Ellaby.
And you live in Salford still?
No, I live in North Carolina. Actually, I live in South Carolina, Waxhaw.
How long have you been out here?
45 years.
You've still got a Salford accent?
Yep, because my wife keeps my aunt me honest.
So your wife's from Salford as well?
Yes.
Whereabouts in Salford?
I'm from Kersal and she's from... Eccles New Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do out here?
I'm retired.
Yeah?
But I work for a printing ink company, made ink for beer cans. And
and how did you leave Salford? What happened?
I wasn't happy in my job.
Yeah.
And there was an opportunity to work for a customer in New York. And we said we'd go for a year to give it a go and come back if we didn't like it. And we never went back, 1979.
How does life compare?
It's not the same.
No. But then Manchester and Salford's not the same as 79. It's totally different.
No, you're right. Kersal's not the same as it was when I lived there. But I think here, it's not as social. It's more home social than going out to the bar or a pub. These events obviously help people get together, but it's so hard because everywhere's so far away. You know, you can walk to a pub in most wherever you live in England. You can't walk to a bar.
Yeah, everything's spread out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas Salford, you're from, you could probably name five pubs within walking distance.
And they've all shut down now.
All shut.
Yeah, the racecourse is gone. The Rainsa Brew.
Do you keep in touch with anyone from Salford?
Yeah, all my family's still there, so yeah. Talk to them. I was watching Salford rugby on the telly this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
You still watch Salford rugby?
Oh, I love them. And they did well, they beat Leeds, so...
So how do you watch Salford rugby?
I can't tell you.
Right, okay, but there are ways of doing it.
There are ways of doing it.
You still support them?
Still support them. I went to the grand final in 19. I didn't go to Wembley in 20 because of the COVID thing.
So you flew back to the grand final?
Yeah, dead right. So, and I'll fly back this year when they make it.
So Manchester United or Salford Red Devils? Well, you are allowed both.
The Red Devils are Salford to me.
Yeah, okay.
United's the Reds.
Okay.
And... I see, obviously, it's easier to see United and read about United. So I spend more time thinking about United. But Salford's there in my heart. I played for them in 1977, 78. So.
Which level?
B team, and I played 2 A-team games.
Did you?
And then we came here. So.
How interesting. Lovely to talk to you. Yeah.
You too. And thanks for everything you said up there. It was nice. Especially the stuff about the Ship Canal. But you should know that people in South Carolina don't like that because all the cotton went through Charleston and out to Manchester. Every ounce of cotton from here went through Manchester. And by boycotting the American cotton, they helped stop the Civil War. And these guys lost. So
this is really interesting.
So yeah, so go to Charleston while you're here. Go and see Charleston.
I've heard it's beautiful. I'm not going to have time.
We'll come back.
So Manchester boycotting.
Manchester workers boycotted any cotton that came out of America, which all came from the south and all went through Charleston. So
and
when
that
it got
helped.
To England, and that helped, it put financial stress. Watch Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Put financial stress on the south. And help stop the war. And Abraham, you've been in Brazenose Square. Is it Lincoln Square now?
Yeah.
And see the statue
of Abraham
and you
Lincoln.
Read the letter.
Yeah.
And
so if down here, they wouldn't like that.
No.
Right. And I mentioned the Ship Canal again. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Nice to talk.
AG1 is one of the supporters of this podcast. Well, what is AG1? Well, are you short on time? You're sometimes too busy to plan healthy meals or prepare meals from scratch. Are you looking after yourself? Do you fall back on less healthy habits like caffeine or sugar for your energy? Or when you need to focus, does that result in caffeine or sugar crashes? Do you find you've got a little less energy than you did 10 years ago? Do you want to continue doing what you want, how you want, for as long as possible? Well, what about AG1? It's a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 vitamins, minerals, and other ingredients, including gut-friendly bacteria, antioxidants, high quality mushrooms and more. Just one scoop of AG1 once a day contains the nutrients you need to support your mental performance, energy, heart health and immune system. Immune system, well, AG1 is your daily dose of vitamin C, zinc and more to support overall immune health. Skin, hair and nails all benefit, where vitamin A, biotin and zinc contribute to the maintenance of normal skin. Nutrition can be complicated. You're constantly told to take 1,000 different supplements and do 1,000 different things to be the best version of you. AG1 takes away that worry. Over 70 carefully selected ingredients in one scoop, once a day. Simple. Designed by a world-class team of architects, and as science advances, so does AG1. It's trusted by Olympians, Formula One drivers, and the founder's dad. And can get your money back if you're not happy. AG1 is sure you'll feel great after taking it for the first 90 days. In fact, they're so confident they put the money where their mouth is. If you're not 100% satisfied, contact the company within 90 days of your first order. You'll get your money back. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a 3 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription. Go to drinkag1.com/UnitedWeStand. That's drinkag1.com/UnitedWeStand. Check it out. I'm with Martin Hall. Martin is from England, but he lives over here and he writes very regularly in United We Stand about US culture, US sport. I love some of the stuff that Martin writes because I find that I learn in every single article. Just a one page, 800 words, and you've always been a good writer. That's why we let you into United We Stand. So before it starts absolutely lagging it down here, where are you living now, Martin?
So I'm living in Arlington, Virginia, which is just outside Washington, D.C.
Where the cemetery is.
Exactly right, where Kennedy is buried. So just outside Washington, D.C. So I've been over here for about 10 and a half years now. And I've really enjoyed it and became a U.S. citizen last summer. So a very proud American.
So if Britain went to war with the U.S., which side are you going to be on?
Oh my God, I better be careful whether my cousins or my wife hears it. I'll be diplomatic and say it gives me two teams to cheer for at the World Cup and the Olympics. How's that?
Okay. Yeah, I'm also watching the Olympics and finding much amusement that Brazil is so bad at it and my wife does not appreciate it. You're a country of 200 million people. Why are you like 56th in the medals table?
Hey mate, how are you?
Okay. Right. So tell us a bit about where we are, because you were saying earlier the culture's very different here to the north part of the United States.
Yeah, very much so. And I think that's one of the things about America is it's so huge and so diverse that every state almost has its own like ecosystem and economy, and politically and socially they're all very different. South Carolina is a fascinating place in terms of sport. It's one of a handful of states that actually doesn't have a professional sports team. So all that passion and energy and rivalry is all channeled towards college sports, which is just a huge, huge industry. So we just stood against the backdrop of Williams-Brice Stadium, which hosts about 78,000. And this, by the way, in a town of 140,000 people. But every week they get their crowd is actually bigger than United's, which is kind of nuts. But in their division of college football, that doesn't even put them in the top half. Teams like Alabama just get so, you know, teams like Texas, they just get even bigger crowds than that.
So these big bowls with the bleachers going back forever, they're very different from the SoFi Stadium. So it's pack them in.
Yeah, very, very much so. But what you're seeing as well is there's almost a little bit of an arms race, Andy, in terms of like the stadiums and the training facilities.
Okay.
Everything has to be the best of the best.
So we've got the biggest stadium as a badge of honour.
Yeah, it's the biggest stadium, but also we've got the biggest weights room, we've got the best light system, we've got the best locker rooms, that kind of stuff. So it's funny, I feel that like one of the things that Americans find most interesting about English sport is non-league and lower league. They find that fascinating, that doesn't quite exist here. And I think the one thing us Brits find fascinating about America is college sports, because outside of say Oxford Cambridge boat race, which is not that big a global deal, we don't really have any equivalent.
So if these are getting 78,000 but they're not professional, where's the money going? Are the players paid?
So it's actually a really interesting inflection point. In the past couple of years, the players have begun to get paid, if not directly by the university. There's a law came in called name, image and likeness, which means that you can basically do advertising, you can get sponsorship, you can get paid separately by alumni, and you can sell t-shirts with your name on it. But I think the other The other kind of trend that you have here is what's called boosters, which is basically rich alumni just ploughing money into it. And they need to, because so many of these colleges are public schools. So there's about 35 states in America where the highest paid public employee is the football coach. So you might have a football coach on millions of pounds a year, and he's on multiples more than, say, the governor or the local senate leader. So it really is a culture unlike anything else. I find it fascinating.
So this is Friday Night Lights.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, talking about Friday Night Lights, here in the South, maybe not so much in South Carolina, but Texas, it's not even college that's big, it's high school, where you get high school having thousands of people on a Friday night game. So
Andy Cole's on a stage here with Wes Brown and a couple of former Scousers. Don't know who they are. Who's that? Lucas Lever, I think. A couple of the other lads. This is fascinating. Friday Night Lights was a wonderful made for TV, but the book's one of the best books ever written.
Book's absolutely stunning, and just the way they talk about, like, the poverty in the background and also the bad luck you can have. There was one lad in it who I think broke his leg and his career was never quite the same, and I think stories like that are universal. You know, everyone at home has a friend who went to school or could have been a contender, and I think, like, Friday Night Lights captures that really well in the American context.
What Manchester United now in the US market, in the time you've been here, the decade, not won the league, but is football becoming more mainstream? Are United bigger than they were 10 years ago? Is City getting any traction?
City definitely are. Football has definitely grown so much since I came here. I remember moving here in January 2014 in the middle of the Moyes season, thinking I was kind of coming to some cultural wasteland, and then quickly learning I could watch literally every game, 3 p.m. kickoffs, like, no problem at all. And I think, like, fan culture has grown as well. There's lots more supporters clubs. I'm here with a couple of lads from the Pittsburgh Reds, and they were just singing the praises of the club to me, how good they've been to deal with. I think United is still a huge deal over here, but, like, definitely the lack of success is hurting, and you're seeing City grow, you're seeing Arsenal grow, interestingly seeing Spurs grow a lot, which is kind of surprises me a little bit. But I think United is still largely the biggest show in town, and tours like this can only help that.
Thank you for your time. Let me just,
I read everything The Athletic puts out.
Right, so what's your name?
Isabel.
Where are you from, Isabel?
I'm originally from Charleston, South Carolina, but I go to school in Eugene, Oregon, so 3,000 miles away.
So school's university?
Yes.
And, okay, so when you go to university, is it like in the UK and you're 18 to 21?
Exactly. I'm 22 now, so I'm in my senior year. So
what are you studying?
Sports business, so I'm hoping to do...
That's a long way from here.
Yeah, sure is. That's what everybody tells me. I didn't know anybody there. I'm the only person from South Carolina at the University of Oregon. So
you've come back for the game?
Yeah, just for the game. That's it.
How? That's miles away.
Yeah.
How far?
It's about 3,000 direct from Eugene to Charleston, which is 2 hours. So I drove 2 hours up for the game, and then about a 10-hour flight.
Wow. Yeah. Basically come as far as we have.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get the luxury of getting to see United every weekend, but I guess you might not call it a luxury after last season.
So on your university campus, are there any other Manchester United fans, any soccer fans? How do you watch games?
Actually a lot. Well, I work for the athletic department. We've got at least 5 in the athletic department alone that just massive United fans. So we tune in for every game together and try to get together at those early kickoffs and suffer through, you know, the last couple seasons where it's been 20 shots on target and you're just like shaking in your boots. But yeah, I mean, I became a United fan in like 2013, so I only got, you know, like a year or two of goodness.
What made you become a United fan? Come here.
I had a couple friends that was the only team that they knew, and that's, I just latched on to it, and I just love the culture of community and,
yeah, of course.
Yeah. People coming together for the fact that they love soccer, and I've just like fell in love with the U.S. Women's National Team, and then just compounded on that. And I don't miss a game, and I haven't since I've been a fan. So.
Have you ever been to England?
I haven't. Yeah, I haven't been to Europe at all. So I mean, I'm just trying to save money to get over there before they, you know, try to build a new stadium. So we'll see.
Lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Wes,
you've been on the tour. Wes Brown, you've seen Manchester United. We're about to play Liverpool in the final game. What have your observations been? Who's impressed you?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a good tour, I think. Obviously, we've got one injury. That's a bit, that's something that we didn't need. You know, I thought he looked really sharp.
Lenny.
Lenny, when I've seen him as well. So, you know, very unfortunate, and we definitely don't want any more. I think as the games have gone on, you can see the sharpness. You know, yes, they're not playing 90 minutes yet, but you know, I think this game's very important. It's important one playing Liverpool, and yes, it is a friendly, but you know, you still want to, for the attackers, get out your players, you know, see if you can take them on and just see where you're at, really. But again, it is all still about getting the miles in the bank and pushing on. I think it'll be interesting to see how the likes of Ahmed plays today. I thought he was excellent in the last game, and I'd love to see him pushing now, you know, to get a start, because I think he's, you know, the way he's playing at the moment, he sort of deserved it a little bit. And then you've got your people that will obviously come on in the second half, a lot of the young lads as well. I would like Anthony, Sancho, I would really like to see them impress as well. You know, we want competition this year for places, and in that position particularly, you know, there's three or four lads that are really, really, you know, putting pressure on the manager to make it theirs at the beginning of the season.
Who else has stood out for you? Can I ask you about Collier, Toby?
Very good.
Why?
I just think he's solid. You know, what I've seen of him, he's sharp, good on the ball. And if he keeps on playing like that, you never know, he might even start, because I'm not sure if Luke's back in yet. But yeah, I've really been impressed with him. He he's matured, and I think you can see it in these last couple of games.
Harry
as well, a very good player. I think for these players, the experience is vital. You know, obviously at the beginning of the season, is he going to get as many games as he would like? Maybe not at the beginning, but we know what that's like with the young lads. You know, we always seem to push someone in from the 23s at some point of the season, and they do really well. Cobby, I know he got injured last pre-season, but you know, being that certain name last year, so you just hope they really want it and really want to impress, and I think that's the main thing.
So that's it for this podcast. I'll probably do another one from Wembley on Saturday, which we'll put out next week, and we'll get United We Stand hopefully done. Remember to subscribe if you want the next 10 issues that will carry you right the way through the season. Also, a couple of other things which may be of interest. Talk of the Devils are doing a live date in Manchester, November 11th, and Dublin as well in November. Tickets will go on sale for that quite soon. And I'll be going around Ireland with Brian McClare in September. September 2, Cork. September 3, Limerick. September 4, Galway. September 5, Dublin. September 6, Belfast. So tickets are selling well for all of those dates, and it's less than a month away, so get on it. Just type in a few keywords and I'm sure you'll be able to find the links for tickets, no problem. But Chockey's a really interesting fella, and we'll have some good stories to tell him as a player, but also as a coach, where he was pretty influential. I mean, he was heading up Manchester United youth system for a long time. Anyway, here's to a decent performance in the Community Shield. Bye-bye.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.